because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God
bless you. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And this is Rewind, Wisconsin's Eye summary of this week in the Capitol. The bad news came Wednesday morning, J.R. Everybody had been hoping there would be this, to use Gordon Hinds' term, pot of gold. Mm-hmm. Bob Lang said no new money for school aids to ease the cut in the UW system, no diversion from the general fund of the transportation fund, no money for anything. In fact, let's read one sentence in Bob Lang's report. If there is any additional revenue in the current year, which ends June 30, it will likely be offset by reduced growth rates in 2015-16 and 2016-17. On balance, we believe that the current estimates for the three-year period should not be adjusted. So what's a poker term? You got to know when to hold them.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, everybody focuses on no new money, but really, fiscal year was on target in January. So you should have, like, budgeted or thought, okay, this is what we're going to have. They're hoping for good news. But we've talked before. You go back and look at the last six or seven cycles, and yeah, they've had a couple of years where May estimates went back up, but they've also had ones that went down big time and been flat. So they've been counting on this as a way, an escape hatch, if you will, from what Governor Walker proposed, and it's just not there. So now you have to dig deep and find money within the budget. And there are pots of money everywhere. They're not big sometimes. There's one big one they're going to pull where the school levy credit, which, you know, we all know in our property tax bill, this is total budget wonkiness, but the way the governor funded it, he made two payments in one fiscal year.
Yes.
Different calendar years, but one fiscal year. By moving that payment, the second one, off by a couple of weeks, you grab $105 million in this biennium. So there's room there.
You do, but you push off that tax credit payment until the next biennial
budget
cycle.
That's to do with next budget.
2017, 2019, what do they call that up on the hill? Kicking the can down the
gimmicks,
road, accounting gimmicks. Go ahead.
So, but you push that money off. They grabbed $15 million yesterday from the Confluence Project in Eau Claire,
which broke Chippewa Valley hearts up there.
Governor Walker, back in January or whenever, announced it, said, you'll have to lobby hard for this once they put in the budget. Now, what's different is it was a pure earmark of GPR. It was not in the building budget, like kind of a different way to do things, if
you will.
It
really was. It wasn't a building project.
It almost
amortized over a long period.
Put it on the platter of here, grab me.
Yes.
So there was that. Then there was $5 million here. And, you know, they found a way so far to pull together some money. That ending balance can be massaged, if you will, at the end. So they'll find some room. But there's not that, you know, we've talked before, maybe be $250 million or $400 million. That's not going to happen.
Their eyes got bigger and bigger. But let's look at the numbers in Lang's. He didn't change the numbers, but he said what he said in the current year, revenues are up 3.3%, but by the way, we'd projected 3.7%, so there's some shortfall there potentially. Mm-hmm. But then he said in the next fiscal year, 2015-2016, an upper of 4.7%. Is that too optimistic, man? That is a high number.
If you're a budget geek, and you know I am, read Lang's letter and talks about the national economy slowing.
Softening.
So that would be a warning sign. If you are a lawmaker right now on the Finance Committee, that's not your problem right now. Your problem is, how do I close that gap for K-12, the cut that Walker proposed, and balance this budget and get out of here in a month? But your problem next year might be, okay, those projections fell short because the economy has slowed more.
Yes.
Now we have to do a budget repair bill.
Right.
Or the Walker administration would say, oh, we can find ways to save money without doing that. But there could be an ominous sign, if you will, of what's going to come another year from now.
Yeah, and let's look at a couple of responses from legislative leaders. Speaker Voss said, for those of us who have been crossing our fingers and going to church on Sunday, it didn't work. We'll figure a way to make it all work out in the end. They're not going to raise taxes. They're going to do some of these additional tough things. But Lena Taylor, what did you think of her line? Earth to Walker, it's not working. We know it's not working. She uses the Earth to Walker saying that he's not in the state. He's campaigning for president.
There are a couple of obsessions Democrats have on joint finance. One of them is Governor Walker is not here, not engaged, and he's turned over leadership of this state to his staff and basically abandoned it. I mean, everything we talk about in joint finance, it seems like, is Governor Walker, where is he? Why is he not here? Why is he not engaged? So it's, you know, they sense an opening, if you will, to beat up on the governor for being absentee.
Yeah. One thing, though, you and I heard both GOP leaders in both houses saying, you know, we're seriously considering raising that $75 vehicle registration fee. It hasn't gone up since 2008. But when he talked to reporters, was it just yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. I think he again said no gas tax increase. And he also said, I don't favor raising the registration fee.
He called it a tax.
But don't you think he's on the verge of getting outflanked by Republicans who say, who will say, okay, we understand you don't want a gas tax increase. Neither does Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald. We will not raise a gas tax, but Governor, we're not going to let you bond at $1.3 billion. We are going to raise the registration fee. That's my read. What
was
you?
Robin Voss's line? How is it more conservative to borrow your way to pay for roads than it is to actually pay for them with a, you know, a fee increase? How is that more conservative to do that? I mean, Governor Walker, again, whether it's true or not, the perception is he's governing through his presidential campaign. Well, it's not a campaign yet, but he's governing through his presidential campaign, not through what's best for the state. He doesn't want to sign any kind of fee increase. He doesn't want to have anything like that on his record. So he is saying no. Lawmakers saying, look, you bonded $1.3 billion to pay for these projects. Okay, I'll tell you what. We're going to look at a fee hike and tell you, if you don't want to do it, you veto it, then you cut the project because this is your baby now.
Right. And let's look. It's very intriguing when you talk to the Fiscal Bureau. We have a $75 fee. It hasn't been raised since 2008. If you kick it $10, let's look at the charts. You raise $34.7 million because you're only getting collections for 9 out of 12 months in the next fiscal year. You kick it by $15 to $90, $70 million upper. You kick it by $20. The upper is $93.4 million a year. If you kick it to $25, which I think is the biggest they could ever conceive of getting away with, a one-third increase, you would raise $116.7 million a year. But the governor recommended bonding of $1.3 billion. How much would a registration fee increase of $25 actually help them?
A little bit, but not a whole lot. I mean, it does get rid of some of the bonding in the budget.
Yeah,
I get the sense. I get the sense they want to get back to where they were bonding in this current biennium.
$991
less than $1 billion.
But do you remember when Nygren said, "Yeah, Speaker got or Transportation Secretary Gottlieb, what would an $800 million bonding?" Mm-hmm. And then Gottlieb said it delays major projects all over the state. Excuse me, I interrupted.
No, I mean, but yeah, they want to get down under $1 billion. They want to be under what they were before. I think they would love to be at $800 million, but can they get there?
No.
Here's the problem. I think Fitzgerald said, I haven't checked this number during his news availability this week, the zoo interchange is eating up 40% of our dollars right now.
Yes.
Okay, so you're not going to put off the zoo because that is a major project that is tying up major traffic in Milwaukee, has to be done in their minds. So where do you go? Well, outstate Wisconsin. Well, outstate Wisconsin says, hey, we've watched you do the Marquette, I-94, now the zoo, where's our kick at the cat, if you will? I-90, the expansion from Madison down state line, I don't get the impression that's going to happen anytime soon, if that's what's, if this is the fiscal picture we're looking at. So where do you find those projects? That's going to be the thing. There might be a couple where locals will say, we don't really need it right now.
Yeah.
This will be easy pickings, but there might be some tough choices of like really putting off some real priorities, if you will, for certain lawmakers in the Capitol.
Well, I was also struck and went back to the Fiscal Bureau. I said, okay, our annual registration fee is $75. Let's look at it in comparison to our neighboring states. And we have a graphic on that. Illinois, $101 per year, but Iowa, Minnesota, and Michigan depends on the age of your vehicle, the cost of your vehicle, and a lot of other factors.
When I was in college in Indiana, I got a used car for $12,000 and paid $448 for my first license plate.
$441 to register it for the $448?
No, $484. I won't forget, $484. I almost like dropped my pants right there at the registration date. But that was different. Now, Indiana had a big rebellion against those high fees. And,
yeah.
But yeah, it that was based on the cost of the vehicle, the age, and other things like that. We're kind of different. We are a high tax, low fee state. So are they going to start digging in for fees? That's kind of the next question.
Okay. Anything you want to add to the reaction of the GOP legis in terms of the no new money report? Anything else you heard?
K-12 is going to be first. We're going to find a way. Some Republicans want to find a way to pare back the UW cut. Not sure how they get there. Fitzgerald was fairly like, hey, you know, they've got money. They can figure out a way to make this work. So yeah, that'll be an interesting debate.
He said the new Lange report makes it, quote, difficult, close quote, to ease back on that $300 million cut for the UW.
Another interesting thing was the voucher expansion that Walker's talked about.
Yeah.
Voss said it's very difficult to expand choice statewide the way he's, because what he wants to do is, if you're a kid in Beloit and La Crosse and Stevens Point, the aid that would follow you normally to that district, you'd pool it and then give out equal sized vouchers to every kid who applies. The choice folks would tell you that's not enough to fund these vouchers for kids.
And
what's going to happen?
Voss said the governor's plan for funding that expansion doesn't work, and they have to come up with a different plan.
Fitzgerald, though, said that sole priority is caucus to expand it statewide. It's less than 1% of students statewide in his mind. it's not something that it's reached a critical point, if you will, that it can't be done. So another interesting to watch with the money available.
One of the most interesting non-budget things this week, JR, was the drama over prevailing wage.
Mm-hmm.
You and I were both in the Senate parlor.
Yes.
When Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald was asked about that. His response, would you call it a chuckle, a snort, what?
It was the Fitz chuckle, yeah.
A Fitz chuckle?
Yeah.
And let's actually listen to that Fitz chuckle.
What prevailing wage repeal?
Is that where we're at?
I have to get 17 votes for something. It's a little bit fuzzier with the hearing that happened yesterday. I don't know that the exact that Senator Nass is scheduled for tomorrow is going to make that any clearer as to where 17 votes would come. So I'm kind of cautiously, working with individual senators, kind of talking to them one-on-one. You know, what do you think? What do you think you can support? And right now, it's very difficult to tell what that is.
When Fitzgerald said, I went around senator to senator to get 17 votes for right to work.
Mm-hmm.
He has said, I haven't worked this issue like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it gets fuzzier in the wake of the day-long public hearing. And then committee chairs don't usually hold votes that they lose. But mm-hmm. Senator Steve Nass, Labor Committee on Thursday, lost. He went 0-2.
Yeah.
The committee went 3-2 against the outright repeal. And then he offered a compromise amendment. Where do you think it goes from here?
The co-chairs of finance this week, they expect to have some kind of quote-unquote reform in the budget, changes, whether it be the threshold when it kicks in,
The
formula to figure out the wage, whatever. They'll have some changes, but outright repeal is not going to work out in the budget. What's fascinating about this issue is for conservative media and groups that have this big win of right to work,
This
is their next calling. Like, this is their passion right now. And they are going crazy because they're not getting their way. These guys who went along the right to work and passed it and saw it wasn't as difficult as it could have been, They're wondering, well, why can't you do prevailing wage? Just saves taxpayers money. They're also using the new revenue numbers to say, hey, here's a way to save more money to do this. It's
give
a new
local
rallying
government
cry.
The tools, the Act 10 argument. Go ahead.
A new tool. But they're not getting their way because the problem is in the Senate caucus, there is a split, from what I can tell, of really people who don't want to do repeal of prevailing wage. Now, there can be a number of reasons. One, there's a philosophy or a thought that during right to work, their lawmakers were told, look, do right to work, we'll give you a break, we won't poke the bear again or anything else, okay?
Yep.
Two, there are lawmakers who have a lot of contracts in their district, like Rick Udex. They don't want to take on that fight and irritate these guys again and again and again. No, by the way, road builders happen to be impacted by prevailing wage. Are big donors Republicans?
Yes.
There's also that relationship to worry about. So there are all these factors that they're taking into consideration saying, and two, philosophically, some guys don't want to repeal a prevailing wage. I mean, there are arguments to be made for why to keep it.
Yeah.
So they're saying, no, Nass is trying to force this issue by holding the hearings. It's not the way the Senate does things usually. It's not like the Assembly where Nass came from. It is a different body, if you will, and how it operates. By forcing the issue, Fitzgerald is saying, you're making it harder for me to get anything done on prevailing wage because guys are saying, this is where it's going to go. I don't want to deal with this. You know, I don't want to be part of this debate.
Okay, you mentioned Steve Nass. He's new to the Senate, and we just got another new senator.
Dewey Strobel.
Arch-conservative Dewey Strobel. How much trouble will Nass and Strobel cause Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald on this prevailing wage issue, JR?
Well, I get the impression that for Nass and Strobel, this is like they're not worried about stepping on toes, if you will. They care about this, they want to push it hard, and they are, you know, on a mission to get it done, but that's not how the Senate has operated recently, and you've got much smaller room for error in the Senate than you do in the Assembly. You have 19 votes right now, Farrell's going to resign, in June, but you can lose two, and that's it. There are more than two people, from what I can tell, in the Senate who oppose a full appeal of a prevailing wage. So.
Yes.
You can put it on the floor if you want to. They're not going to vote for it. And most leaders don't put a bill on the floor that they know is going to fail. So why put your members who may be squishy about it in a difficult position of voting on the floor on a bill that wouldn't pass?
Especially Gudex, who is up November 20th.
Won by 600 votes last time around in a presidential year. I mean, there are lots of reasons why Fitzgerald is hesitant about this. Now, they may be able to find a way to reach an agreement on some kind of, again, reform.
Yep.
What it's going to look like, I don't know. But Nass's reform is not going to happen, from what I can tell right now.
Okay. That's it's just a fascinating issue because it cuts among GOP senators and mm-hmm. reps so many different ways. Moving ahead, let's consider what's on the assembly agenda next Wednesday. First of all, they're going to accept a compromise that will raise the speed limit on interstates and major four lanes to 70%. It's intriguing when you look at the Fiscal Bureau note from the Department of Transportation. We will go to 70 miles an hour first on the interstate highway system, including U.S. Highway 41, which will eventually be converted to an interstate highway, and U.S. Highways 51, 53, and 141. So there's going to be wide acceptance at that. That's going to be on the governor's desk at this time next year.
Yeah, we'll no longer be an island, if you will, for speeders.
Right. But let's look at what's going to take up the most time next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Want to limit food stamps. You can't buy, what is it, lobster and shrimp?
Shellfish, various. I mean, they're trying to force you to make healthy decisions, if you will, with your food shares.
Wow.
Here's the problem. The grocers hate it.
Yes.
Because they have to retool all their software to know what's accepted and what is not. Millions.
Millions.
There have been some notes of, what, $55 million?
That one, don't believe that one.
So
that's been debunked.
Millions of dollars to do this. It passed the assembly last session, died in the Senate. The grocers and others will fight like heck in the Senate to knock it down, prevent it from happening. Republicans very much believe in the philosophy behind the bill of yes. limiting when you buy the food shares and making it be healthy choices.
Well,
implementation is a problem.
One follow-up question on that. The millions that it will cost retailers, taxpayers going to pay that, or the retailers going to make us consumers pay
it? They would pass it on to the consumers, you would assume, unless they can be successful in knocking this down in the Senate, which they did it last time, so you'd think they could do it again.
Right. Then the other thing is, they're going to vote on drug testing for public benefits, unemployment mm-hmm. benefits. And the Democrats tried to offer dozens of amendments in committee, including let's drug test legislators before they can take office. I see this as the thing that's going to tie up the assembly the most on Wednesday. Do you agree?
I think it's going to be a little bit of an interesting conversation, yeah. Here's the thing, too. And what's interesting is, I don't get the impression from talking to folks that the feds are ever going to sign off on this, or it'd be very, very difficult for them to sign off on it. So they can pass the bill, they can put it in law. It's not going to mean anything unless the feds say okay.
And they have to give a waiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Democrats are going to keep asking, what drugs are you going to test for? Alcohol? Wisconsin has a binge drinking problem.
And then here's the other problem. Lean Taylor's brought us up in finance a couple of times. We have a huge prescription drug problem in Wisconsin.
Yes.
It is a gateway drug to heroin because heroin is cheaper.
Yes.
That's on the list of things to test for last time. Or they haven't said specifically, we're going to test for that. Why not? You know, those become questions you have to deal with in drug testing. But there is also the argument, though, one of the big barriers getting people into jobs is being able to pass a drug test. If you can't pass a test, you can't get a job. Why shouldn't we help people get through that and get into a job? There are 90,000 open ones right now they keep talking about, state website. So that's for Republicans, they really want this something like this done to try and create more opportunities, if you will.
But my understanding is if you're on unemployment benefits and you fail a drug test, then the state will pay for a treatment mm-hmm. program, but only once, right? Isn't that your understanding?
They also, you go through a screening first, so you're not guaranteed to be drug tested at all. You go through a screening, then they determine from that if you are likely using drugs, and then they test you. So, you know, I haven't seen the screen yet, if you will, but who's going to answer honestly on those questions? I mean, that's be interesting how it plays out.
And the DWD secretary, when he came into the agency briefing, said we're going to rely on some federal guidelines, but that's kind of like nailing Jell-O at this point, isn't it?
And the other thing is lawmakers keep saying, where are the details? Where are the details? They keep saying, and this is not just in DWD, but in health services with the drug testing, that those programs, they keep saying, we need your permission for the waiver, then we go to the feds, then we work it out, trust us. It's a hard sell sometimes with state lawmakers.
Yeah, it really, really is. Okay, time for, we didn't do a weekly update on the presidential campaign of Governor Walker, but, and I want to do the lead in here. Here's what The Hill said. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker has hit a bump in the presidential race as new candidates have crowded the field, as national numbers have faltered. Some air has come out of the Walker balloon. That's not me saying that, that's The Hill. A Quinnipiac University poll released on Wednesday still shows him with a big lead in the Hawkeye State. 21%, he leads Rubio, but Walker's support has fallen in Iowa. Give us the update.
Remember that airline commercial of want to get away, something bad happens at work, and you want to jump on the airplane? Just before we came on the air, Walker says, I'm dropping my plans to merge WEDA and WEDIC.
Yes.
and DFI and DSPIS.
Minutes after a critical audit of Wiedek.
That said Wiedek is not following his own policies.
Again.
The budget is not in great shape right now. They are remaking it line by line right now in the Capitol. The transportation fund is a huge issue. And this tension we've talked about between Republican lawmakers and the governor, it may be most tense, if you will, on transportation because they feel like you didn't fix the problem. Mm-hmm. You're making us bond for these roads. And now you're saying a fee increase is a tax. What is going on? There is really, really, really a divide right now between Republicans and the Capitol in the executive branch and legislative branch. And that is going to be fascinating to watch as it plays out the next few weeks. Now, and also, right as it hits the fan, Governor Walker is going to South Carolina tomorrow and then Israel for 5 days.
That's right.
The lawmakers are thrilled, by the way, that they're trying to piece his budget back together, and he's off in Israel.
Okay.
Or will be off in Israel next week. So a little bit of a tough road back home right now.
Well, at one point he said there would be a little bit more extra revenue to spend, and now there's zero extra revenue. So does the new LFB report hurt him nationally?
It's harder.
I haven't seen any stories that says that it does.
It's harder to sell the Wisconsin turnaround, if you will, if this is what's going on. Now, I mean, still, remember, the revenues were solid, right? They didn't revise them upward from 3 months ago. That money was there. But there are little things like Governor Walker said this week that we will make education whole. Well, you ask Republican lawmakers, they'll say, well, why didn't you make it whole back in January when you were planning this thing? I mean, what's going on? Again, just there's much a disconnect, if you will, between Republicans and the legislature and the governor's office.
Okay, and one more thing before we get into the Wispolitics stock report. Implications of the no new money report on the Bucks arena, because the governor said that's now in the back burner. So what's your gut tell you on that?
You know, it hasn't been about state money. It's been about local money.
Yeah.
What can the city pipe give to this
city
thing?
City and county.
So I think it's, I get the impression it's more about the city right now. Because remember, the state money is all, you know, you borrow through BCP, the Board of Commissioner of Public Lands. You repay it with these jock tax or whatever you do with the state share, but it would go through the locals. Well, how do you fund at local level? Might they require them to use their shared revenue for it? Might they force the issue, allow them to raise local revenue? All these ideas are floating around. I get the impression that the talks are progressing. There's no clear answer just yet, but they're getting there. I think they're moving forward, I guess.
Well, okay, what about the signal, potential signals that the governor was sending, saying in light of the Lange report, it's on the back burner? Was he telling city and county come up with more? Was he telling the owners
the owners don't need to necessarily pony up more money? It's kind of a conflicting message. Also said back burner, but we could have a deal in the next couple of weeks. So.
Okay. When I get back from Israel. Okay. Stock report, rising.
The abortion debate.
Thank you for getting into this
our
issue.
Our first real social issue being teed up for us to kind of watch in the Capitol.
Yes. Senator Lozick, Representative Krieger,
yep.
Sanfilippo, and Ballwig. Go ahead, talk about their bill.
This bill would ban abortion after 20 weeks.
Right.
As far as I can tell, there's no exception for rape and incest, which is a big deal.
The only exception is medical emergency.
Yes.
Go ahead.
As a fine state statute. Let's talk president politics first. Governor Walker had a little bit of a softness, if you will, on his right flank when abortion came up a month or two ago and said, I will sign a bill when it reaches my desk, not if, when it reaches my desk, to ban abortion for 20 weeks. Now, that's unusual for Walker. He always says, I'll look at the bill once it gets to my desk. He almost never commits to something, so that was interesting. It was all spurred by last fall. He was in a tight race at the time with Mary Burke. Did this ad, which you talked about, the legislation that was approved that required for clinics to have local admitting privileges or admitting a local hospital to perform abortions, and also required ultrasound before one was performed, right? Talked about it in very soft terms, leaves the decision to a woman and her doctor, but it protects patient safety. Very soft language. He went on Fox News and gave an interview about abortion and again had kind of some confusing comments, and he came out right after that with boom, I want this bill. Right? So he's pushing for that to kind of show his credentials to go nationally. In the state, you've got a huge majority in the assembly. You've got 19 in the Senate. You do have very conservative pockets in both those caucuses that will sign this bill as it is. The question is, can you move it to the entire caucus without the exceptions for rape and incest and life of the mother? Those will be things to watch.
Yep.
Now, there are people who are going to argue from the pro-bill side, say, hey, at 20 weeks, you know, they can feel pain. We shouldn't have any exceptions for anything. If they had made a decision, they should have made it before then. You'll hear that argument. The other side you're going to hear, I'm not comfortable with no exceptions for these things. And oh, by Democrats are going to tee off on this as, here they go again, another example of the far-right agenda that has taken Wisconsin the wrong path.
War on women.
We should be talking about the budget and schools and our parks and everything else, and they're talking about this stuff. So it's going to be a very, very tense discussion in Woodland Capitol.
Yep, I'm glad you raised that. Mixed.
Howard Marklein. So
first-term senator, Southwest Wisconsin.
6 months ago, this guy is a conservative hero. He took over the seat that this, you know, rhino Dale Schultz had, and now what does he do? He votes no on prevailing wage repeal. And these conservatives are like incensed. What is this guy doing? You know, he's acting on, he's not following what we want him to do. Well, some people say he's voting his district. It's a district that is not hardline conservative. It is very much a swing to lean Democratic district, top of the ticket. This is what he's supposed to do, represent the people he, you know, elected him. There are those, though, that think, hey, he should be voting his district, yes, by representing the local schools who would save money and the local government. So it's this fascinating dynamic of a guy who got elected with the conservatives cheering him on. Now he's not following what we want him to do. What's going on?
Well, he's a forensic accountant, and that's a background that always intrigues me. So he's a good choice for mixed. Falling.
Oh, what do we have for falling this week?
Dane County.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You're talking about the Marklein Amendment?
Oh.
Tying their hands? Go ahead.
Look, Republicans capital don't like Dane County. Let's be honest, right? It's too liberal, too progressive, too this, too that. Remember when, who was it? Was it Grothman went crazy about like the bike lanes that had like the green paint at the end of the lanes give bikes priority at stoplights? Yeah. I mean, it's just one thing after another. They just do not like what's happening in Dane County. So here we are, the end of joint finance on Tuesday, and Marklein pulled out this motion.
Marklein's district does not include Dane County. Go ahead.
Doesn't even touch Dane County. If I looked at the map, right, it's a little that far away in Iowa County. But anyway, what it proposes is there's been this tension between developers and the county over getting projects approved, including like running sewer lines, approving runoff plans, all because Dane County has this plethora of waterways, you know, trout streams, lakes, you name it, we got it here. And they're saying, you guys are taking too long to approve these things. We're going to create this new window.
Yep.
You have to do things. And oh, by the way, we're going to limit your subunits, you know, from having being contracted with by DNR to weigh in on this stuff. So it's basically a slap at Dane County saying, we're going to tell you how to do things. You're not on your own anymore.
Yeah.
You are an instrument of us, the state, and we're going to tell you how to do things. And oh, by the way, I don't think they're done with them yet. There may be more things coming in the budget where they either restrict or limit or pull back some stuff that Dane County can do in terms of development because they're frustrated, builders, everybody else, others, I should say, about the pace of things in Dane County. What's its reputation? It's a hard place to do business. Yet Dane County folks say, look, we love our streams. We love our lakes. Yeah, we have a higher standard. We chose to do that. Republicans, where's that local control thing?
Yeah, and there was no consultation before Marklein hit him with that prohibition. That's fascinating. Okay, time for the mea culpa correction. Mm-hmm. In last week's Rewind, I said that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called State Senator Jerry Petrowski the new Dale Schultz, and I was wrong. So we formerly advise journalism students. Do you want to advise me that old rule? When you assume you...
It's a family show, Steve.
Okay. Anyway, sorry, I was wrong. And I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And that's Rewind for May 8th.